Joshua chapter 5 and verse 9. Let's read together. Ready? Let's read together with conviction. Because before you read it, I want to say this is a promise that God gives to every Christian. Alright? Even though it's given to Israel, but if you would see with faith eyes, this is a promise God gives to every Christian. Joshua chapter 5 verse 9. Ready? 1, 2, go. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we look to you because you are good. Not only that you are good, Father, we know that you are great. Your salvation is great. Your love is great. Your mercies is great. And Father, who are we that have the privilege to even stand in your great presence? Lord, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also says, for God commendeth his love toward them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, so that you can bring us back into a loving relationship with you. So that you can deal with the sin that have oppressed us. So that you can deal with the baggage and the burdens that we bear as a sinner. So that when Jesus died on the cross, he was able to remove not only our sin, but take away the shame, take away the burdens from all of us. And so, Lord, today, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will speak in a powerful way that our reproach might truly be removed. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's please be seated. Just give you a bit of background to Joshua chapter 5. God has called Joshua. Joshua's role and responsibility now is to bring these people into the promised land. The children of Israel has been through the wilderness for 40 years because of their rebellion at the time when God told them to go in earlier. Did you remember the story? Remember, 40 years earlier, God says, go into the promised land. 2 said yes, 10 said no. 2 said yes, by faith we can go in. Yes, there are grasshoppers, there are giants in the land. But 10 said, no, it's too much for us. And so, in this situation, does the majority always win? Yes, right? So 10 said no, so they won't go in. But you know what happened? The leaders, the men, the heads of the tribe were unwilling to trust God, to obey him, to enter the promised land. As a result of that, they were made by God to wander for 40 years. And I want us to listen to this spiritual lesson, very important. You can look at your verses, it's over there. Numbers chapter 14, verse 33 and 34. This is a very important spiritual lesson that we have to learn. Listen to what God says in Numbers chapter 14. 33 and 34. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now, after the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. What God is saying, he said, listen to this. You are going to, your children, after you are going to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years, because you actually went in to spy out the land 40 days. So for every 40 days, every day, I'm going to add 1 year of judgment on your life because you refuse to trust me. Can I say this? Every day we live in disobedience to God, God has no choice but to add the judgments so that we understand that it is a serious thing to go against God. How many of you will just go into someone's house and steal something today in Singapore? We wouldn't dare to do that, right? Why? Because very soon the police force will be knocking at your door. Hello, you've been charged. And very quickly, we thank God for an efficient police force in Singapore. But you know what? That is a semblance of God's holiness. Sin is sin and has to be dealt with. And God says, look, you guys have sinned against me on a continuous basis. And for every day, I'm going to add 1 year of judgment. 40 long years. This is a spiritual lesson. Some people say, Brother Johnny, this is the Old Testament. That's judgment. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. I want to teach you this Bible principle. Every time a principle is lifted from the Old Testament and placed in the New, it is an eternal principle. That is God's character we need to follow. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. Take heed. Take heed, brethren. Be careful, brethren. Be very careful. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Notice the departing from God doesn't happen outwardly. It happens inwardly. It can actually happen long time ago before you actually take steps to totally abandon God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin always deceives us. Everything is okay, no problem, you know, I'm walking with God. But you know what? Many times we are being deceived about that. Well, so negative to start off with, right? But you know what? The Bible says today in Joshua 5:9, but all that is past. We're looking at Joshua chapter 5, all that is past. The judgment of the 40 years is past, is over, is finished. Joshua and the entire nation of Israel stands on the threshold of a new life. All right, and this is the commandment to move into the promised land has been given. The promises have been fulfilled by God. They have crossed over the Jordan onto dry land. Did you know that? Do you know when Joshua wrote Joshua chapter 5, or do you know that they were already standing on the promised land? They have already crossed over to Jordan. They are standing on the promised land. They're already there. God has already fulfilled all His promises to them. Everything. God has fulfilled His word. They were on the threshold of a new life, a new beginning. But interestingly, also new conflicts that will happen because as they move into the promised land, they are enemies. For us as Christians, understand this. When you become a Christian and move into the new Christian life, it is the same as when we were in Egypt, the old life, a non-believing life. Then we move into the new life as a Christian. God wants us to overcome our old life. Does that make sense? There are many things in our lives that still hold us. And God says, you're moving in. I've given you the promise. You have victory. But look, there are still enemies along your way. And I want to give you the strength to overcome these enemies. So in verse 9, God says to Joshua and gives a promise to the nation of Israel and said, today I have removed, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. The word Gilgal means rolling away. That's why it's called Gilgal. Okay? And God says, today I'm going to roll off the reproach of Egypt. Now, what is the reproach of Egypt? This is an important thing. Every Christian must understand this because otherwise you will not be able to understand the promise that God has given to us. The word reproach means to hold in contempt. To charge with fault in a severe language that maybe a father may be very angry at the son or daughter and shout. And as a reproach, you're scolding the child. They would to scold, to blame for anything, to treat with contempt. Basically, the word reproach means an object of shame. An object of shame. If you think about the reproach of Egypt, the Israelites had, they were treated as slaves. The Egyptians would mock them. They would blame them for everything that happened. They would spit on them. They would scold them. They would be rough with them. If they do not do their work, they will be scolded. If they objected, they will be whipped. And if they retaliated, they will be killed. That is the shame the Israelites had. For how long? How long were the Israelites in Egypt? 400 years. 400 years, that's a long time to be treated with scorn. That's a long time to be treated with that kind of reproach. They were fearful, they lacked confidence, and they don't have personal pride. They were treated like scum, they were dust. They were not only were they poor, they were despised. They were little, they were hungry, they were starving. They had to work and listen to unkind bosses. They had no joy, they had no hope. 40 years in bondage. You know what? On a daily basis, seeing people die. Under that kind of bondage. No hope, no strength. It was a daily grind. A daily struggle just to live. A daily burden, a daily trial, a daily heaviness. And maybe the next few sentences I'm going to speak may reflect us. They struggled to believe. They fought to live. And many died in despair. They could not find a solution. We are waiting for a Messiah for 400 years. For 400 years, the Israelites, they were objects of shame, objects of scorn. Before we were Christians, we were objects of scorn because we were the servants of sin. And we need to understand this very, very importantly. Many non-believers today feel they are having a whale of time. But one day when they truly make who their boss is, the Bible says, John 8:44, you don't have to turn there. Ye are of your father the devil, and his will he do, will you do. You know, God says, look, before many non-believers, oh, we're having a good time, you know, rock and roll and doing all, and things seems to be good and fine. But do you realize that many of the rock stars and Hollywood stars, they had to commit suicide, they had to take drugs. Why? I thought money was the most important thing. If money was the most important thing, Hollywood would be the happiest place on earth. Agree? Premier League soccer stars will be the richest men on earth because they are paid millions of dollars. If money was the most important thing. Objects of scorn. Do you realize? But you know what God said to the Israelites? This day, as you stand on the promised land, God told Joshua, all the reproach that you have experienced in Egypt, I have wrote off. You listen to this. God is not speaking in the future tense. He is speaking right now. Israel, the reproach of Egypt, the shame that you have felt for 400 years, I'm going to roll it off you, and you are going forth free. You are going forth in my power. You are going forth and you will conquer the land. If you read the book of Joshua, you will find that Joshua conquered Ai. Joshua conquered Jericho. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 12 or 13, by the end of the conquest, Joshua has conquered the entire promised land. Because God said, this day have I rolled off the reproach of Egypt from off you. In other words, Joshua, you have victory in your life. You have victory in your life, Joshua. From now on, whatever that is past, put away. I have rolled it off. I have put away. All the shame that you may have felt, all the brokenness you may have felt, all the discouragement, all the death. But you say, when you look forward to God and stand on the threshold of the new place, God says, I've wrote off the reproach. Did you understand that? Christians, you have to, by let him that have ears to hear, let him hear. God, in your life, when you became a Christian, have removed the penalty of sin. Have removed the shame of sin. Some of you sitting right here, perhaps, maybe you can never forget the sinfulness of your past. But can I say this? You do not have to live with the burden of that memory, because God says today, when you have trusted me, I've taken away the reproach from off you. You are made free. The Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free. The word set you free is being translated wrongly. It is to make you free. You know what's the difference between setting free and making free? The difference is this. A bird in a cage, when I set it free, it's free to fly. Yes? But it's not free to live abundantly. Because he still has to find his own food. When Jesus makes us free, he sets us free and he says, I'm going to give you all you need to live. Does that make sense? I'm going to give you all the grace you need. I'm going to give you my holy word. Because the Bible says, Matthew 4 verse 4, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to guide you on a daily basis. I'm going to give you grace so that when you feel most tempted, my Holy Spirit and my grace can help you overcome. I'm going to give you people of God who love you to lead you. And sometimes to lift you up. And sometimes they'll say, hey, you need to do something right. I'm going to give you all this so that you can live that Christian life. So as you think on this, why then are still some Christians having reproach on their lives? If God has set us free, why are we still doubting His word? Why are we still doubting His power? Why are we filled with discouragement and disillusion? And can I say this? Many Christians are depressed. Why? How many of you truly are anxious about the future? Sometimes you don't have to put up your hand. All of us have some anxiety, okay? We have anxiety in our hearts that sometimes only God sees, amen? I read something somewhere which I hopefully will put in perspective. Many Christians are disillusioned, discouraged, and depressed is because they live in the past. Many Christians are anxious about the future because they live in the future. God, you know why we are anxious and depressed? Because God only gives grace for today. Only for today. And by the way, God has already proportioned your grace for every day of your life. Did you know that? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, what? All the days of your life. But God says, look, I know in your life you will have 16 trials on Monday, 22nd of July. I've given you enough grace for the 16. Did I say 16? 16 trials for the day. Don't try to use it for tomorrow or yesterday. Just use it for today. Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have enough problems today. Don't think about tomorrow first. Okay? And you know what? God gives us grace for today. Don't use it for yesterday's problems. It's over. You know when God told Joshua, today I've removed the reproach from all of you. It's not a future thing. It's a promise. God has already done that. Christian, for everyone who have trusted Christ, you will not need to bear the burden of your sin before Christ. Amen? Whatever that you have done in the past that you may regret or whatever, God says, look, I've forgiven that. If I've forgiven that, why are you so uptight about that? It's over. It's over. But then why are Christians still depressed and anxious and broken? I'll give you three quick reasons. I know I only have 20 minutes, but I was looking at the time. Lunch is in about 45 minutes, so I still have that much time. So anyway, don't worry, I'm just joking. But three reasons why, don't look at that clock or something. The clock is actually spoiled. Okay, it's not moving at all. So, and if you look at the clock, it's going to stay 12:20 for a long time. But anyway, three reasons why Christians sometimes are unable to have their reproach of this life, the old life. They live in discouragement, they live in anxiety. Three reasons. Number one, because we fail to recognize our position in Christ. Look at Joshua 4 verse 19. We fail to recognize. The words that I speak to you is not my words, it's what God says. Joshua 4:19, let's look there. Joshua 4:19. The people came up, I just read, okay? The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. I would encourage you to go home and read the article that I wrote in front. It's from that particular passage. In this particular verse, the people have just crossed over Jordan. The entire nation of Israel has crossed over Jordan. I just give you a geography lesson very quickly. Okay, so this is Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and they've been wandering for 40 years. Okay, in the wilderness. Okay, Israel is here, the Promised Land, and they are coming from this side. Jordan River is just across. Jordan River is the body of water that separates Israel from the Promised Land. The Bible says in verse 19, they've already crossed it. They're already in the Promised Land. You know, as Christians, when you've trusted Christ by faith, Do you know what happened? Some of you may not understand. The River Jordan was at its overflowing at that time. But God says, I want you to prepare to cross. In military operations, in army operations, there's this river crossing, and there's a lot of things to do. Prepare the equipment. But you know what God says? I want you to cross the River Jordan at the most flowing time of the year. You know what God did? All God required, and this is important, all God required was for the priest of Israel to carry the Ark of the Covenant and take the first step into the water. Means the water has not opened yet, but God says the moment you step in, the river will open. That needed faith, because the banks of Jordan doesn't go like East Coast Beach, goes like this. It goes like this. So which means, if you step in and the water don't open, you will need your self-contained underwater breathing apparatus very fast. Scuba. You need the oxygen tank very fast. But you know what? The people of Israel, under the leadership and faith of Joshua, said, let's go. And the Jewish priest took the Ark of the Covenant, fall on them as they walk, and the Jewish priest stepped on the water. The moment by faith the feet stepped on the water, the Bible says the River Jordan opened. In order to cross into Gilgal, by faith, we need to trust God for His salvation. Christians, did you realize that when you have trusted Christ, your position in Christ cannot be changed? There are some churches who teach you can lose your salvation. God said, no way. In John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That's trust. And then in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give to them eternal life. They will never perish. In John chapter 8, and Romans 8, 37, 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christians, do you realize you have an unending bond with your Savior? You have something that is so precious. Nothing and no one, and God says even the demons in hell cannot separate you from your Savior. Do you realize how much assurance we have as Christians? This day have I rolled off the reproach of Egypt from off you. We will never, but you know, some Christians fail to recognize, oh, I've got so much problems. I cannot pay my bills. I failed by 1 mark my exam. Oh, my whole life is gone. You know, some people commit suicide because they cannot pass the exams. We need to be careful. Number one, please, Christians, recognize your position in Christ. Number two, why we are still having the reproach is because we fail to realize that God's power is with us. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. So they are standing in the land. But notice Joshua 5, verse 1. Came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward. If you know your direction, westward means Jordan is here, west is here, they are already in the promised land. So when the kings of the... I'll just read and then I'll describe. The kings of Amorites, which are on the side of Jordan westward, that means those kings of the promised land just next to the Jordan, and the kings of the Canaanites, which are by the sea. You see, River Jordan is here. The Mediterranean Sea is here, where the way of the Philistines are. The kings that are here, and the kings all the way to the sea, heard, the Israelites are coming. Look at verse number one. Which heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over. Guess what? Their hearts melted. Neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. The people in Canaan had heard that God had brought the people into their land by drying up the Jordan River. You know why they were afraid? Look at Joshua chapter 2 verse 10. This was spoken of by the prostitute Rahab, who by faith placed faith in Israel's God. And she became what? The great, 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 great grandmother of the Lord Jesus. It was by faith. You know, even if you read Matthew chapter 1, you find Rahab, a prostitute's name, was there. You know why? That's the grace of God. He loves sinners. By His grace, because Rahab trusted, God says, I'm going to honor your faith. I'm going to put you in the lineage and genealogy of my son. But look at what Rahab said in Joshua 2 verse 10. As he was talking to the spies. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites. And guess who is facing Israel first? The Amorites. They were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Gog, whom he utterly destroyed. The same God that destroyed the entire army of Egypt, Pharaoh, by the opening of the Red Sea and allowing his people. By the way, you know how big the Red Sea was? At its narrowest point, 24 kilometers. Narrowest point. Okay? Feasible to walk across in one night. When God opened the Red Sea for 24 kilometers. By the way, when God opened the Red Sea, he opened 24 kilometers. Can you imagine walking on dry land? Can you imagine as the Israelites were carrying their horse, they're looking across the sharks and things, maybe swimming by the side. As God opened that Red Sea for the entire night. But Brother Johnny, isn't the Egyptian army following? Yes, they were. You know what? God was blocking them by His fire, the pillar of fire. Read the account in the book of Exodus, how the power of God blocked the entire Egyptian army as His people went free through that Red Sea. You know, the kings of the Canaanites, the God that opened 24 kilometers of the Red Sea, allowing the Israelites to walk through, has just dried up the Jordan River. They are here, guys. Oh, no. They melted. The Bible says their heart melted. There was no spirit in them. You know why? When a Christian lives for God by the Spirit of God, and you submit to Christ, Satan flees from you. Let it sink in for a while. Because I believe that's the key why many Christians live defeated lives. They trusted Christ at salvation, but they didn't fully put on Christ as they walked the journey of life. They depended on the philosophies of this world more than anything. The same God that destroyed this entire army is coming. In the Red Sea account, the Israelites did not have power to overcome the Egyptian army, the Red Sea. But you know the worst of all? They did not have the power to overcome their own fears. They did not have the power to overcome their own fears. The Red Sea was there. Do you know how enclosed the Israelites were? In front of the Red Sea, Egyptian army behind. If you read the geographical account, there were mountains on both sides. They were caught. And that's why the people turn around and say, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Fear always blames. You know what Moses says? Keep quiet. And you will see the salvation of God. God had already had a plan. Amen? When the children of Israel were stuck in the wilderness, Egyptian army coming, Red Sea, almost, God already had a plan. You know what He did? Moses, take the rod that I gave you, just touch the waters. God didn't tell Moses that He was going to open the Red Sea. He said, just touch the waters, read the Bible. You know what? Then God did the most miraculous, most miraculous event in history. He opened the Red Sea. You know why? Because He loves His children. He will do the miraculous for you. But you know what? We need to trust Him. Christians, do you realize the power of the universe? The power that created the universe is in you? Because Jesus says, when you trust Him, my Holy Spirit will come and live in you. And that is something Christians need to realize. Well, why do people then don't realize God's power in their lives? I give you two Bible reasons why. Look at Romans chapter 10 verse 2. Right, just use Matthew 22 verse 29. Okay, it's in your printer. Why don't Christians know the power of God? Matthew 22, 29 says it. Let's read together. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Why do Christians fail to appropriate faith in God? Because they do err, not knowing the scriptures. Because when you see, Christians, when you see that God is able to open the Red Sea, what does that do for your faith? What should that do for your faith? I have a God who loves me that can open the Red Sea. I have a God, if you read in Joshua's account, that is able to keep the sun for an additional 24 hours so that Joshua can complete the conquest of Israel. I have a God that is able to supply a table in the wilderness when the children of Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. God provided them. Point number one, why do Christians cannot have victory? They do not base their faith on what God has said, but what they think they should do. They have faith in their own faith. I think and believe this is what I need to do, so they go by that. Okay, what do I mean? How many of you have cut your finger before? Have you cut your finger before? Yeah? Burn your... Yeah? You cut, no? Never? Okay. What do you do when you have cut your finger? You will... What do? You will... okay. Would you say, I just trust God, don't worry, my finger will be okay. I cut my finger, there's a problem, right? There was one time, is it okay if I... okay, when Lydia was having... So she cut her finger, and then she said, Papa, I cut my finger. I said, cut your finger because of... What do you do when you cut your finger? Standard operating procedure, right? Firstly, nurse, what do you do? Wash first, clean, so that the infection will be taken away, or rather, at least as clean as possible, then you can put antiseptic or whatever, then you put a plaster on it. Okay, if just a minor cut, right? Why is it that for a problem like that, we would have standard operating procedure? But when we come to problems in life, say, let's just trust God. You realize that God has said many things about how we need to deal with problems in the Bible? If you have financial problems, do you know that God has financial principles? It's only if we follow, we will be fine. Did you know that? And that's something, as Christians, we need to understand. How many of you do have loved ones that you're not saved? Don't have to put up your hand. I think many of us do. Do we just say, trust God and they will be saved? Do you realize that God actually has certain things as Christians we need to follow through in order to for God to work? Let me give you an example. Number one. By the way, God is still wanting to save our loved ones. Okay? Why are they still not saved? Because the Bible says, Romans 10:14, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? You know what God says? They cannot know the gospel unless someone tells them. Simple, right? That's what God says, Romans 10:14. But you know, Brother Johnny, I have done that, but they still haven't received Christ. What's the next one? James 4:2, ye have not because ye ask not. You haven't prayed. You haven't prayed. You know, sometimes we just hope that someone will come to Christ because we, sometimes God does that, thank God. But you know what? Our loved ones sometimes really need God to open their hearts. But Brother Johnny, I've shared the gospel, I've prayed, but why is it that they have not come to Christ? In Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, God gave another reason. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. God is able to save every soul on planet Earth. Do you believe that? He can. But it's interesting that he doesn't for two reasons. Number one, salvation is a personal thing between you and God. God's not going to force his salvation on you. Because many people, when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they reject. Would that be true? They don't want to hear about Jesus. And that's why God is not going to force himself. But number two, the second reason why people are still not saved, because in verse 2, but your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Christians, when you find that, when we find that sometimes our prayers are not answered, you know why? It might just be that there is sin that is blocking that. Because God says, look, I can do all I need to do. My hand is not shorter, you cannot say. My ears are not heavy that you cannot hear. In other words, God says, I can hear you. Just like a parent when a child, you know the child hasn't done what is right. And the child is, oh, I want a sweet, I want a sweet, I want a sweet, I want a sweet. Yeah, I know you want the sweet. My hand is long enough to take the sweet for you, but I cannot give you because you just slapped your sister. You go and say sorry first. Yes? I will not give you the sweet until you go and say sorry. Because you want to correct your child so that they will grow. So sometimes God has to stop the answers to prayer and say, hey, I want to answer that prayer. Just get things right. So God actually has a process in the Bible that we need to follow. That's why we are Bible believers. But Brother Johnny, I've been reading the Bible and I don't have any change in my life. I thought the Bible has the power to change me. Look at Hebrews 4 verse 2. God has the answer for that. Let's read together. Hebrews 4 verse 2. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay, unto us was the gospel preached. Paul says, look, I preached the gospel to them. It profited them, but it did not profit them. Why? It's not mixed with faith. When the word of God is taught to the people, they did not believe it. But Brother Johnny, I really believe in God. I really believe, but my life is still not changed. You know why? The Bible says here, how do I know they do not believe it? Because they do not practice it, because belief in the Bible is always an action word. I believe enough to do something about it. The story is told of one man who tied a tightrope across two, and he was just walking back and forth. He's a tightrope walker, so he's able to walk back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There was one man who was pushing a wheelbarrow on the tightrope, and he was able to do back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Okay? There was one man who was observing this guy, and then after a few rounds, this guy who was pushing the wheelbarrow said to this guy, do you believe I can still do it again? Oh yeah, I believe you, man. Oh, you were good. I can see you go about 5 times. No problem. You know what the guy who pushed the wheelbarrow say? All right, I want you to get into the wheelbarrow. Oh, no. I'm not going to get into the wheelbarrow. No. I believe you can do it. But I'm not willing to get in. Why? Now, if I believe that the person can still push the wheelbarrow across, say, of course I can. I know you can. So I just step in. Right? That's faith. Christians, listen to this. Many of us say we believe in God, but our life don't change simply because we do not act on what we believe. Do you believe baptism is important, Christian? Then you need to act on that. Do you believe your job is... How many of you believe your job is important? Put out your hand. Why don't you try not going to work for 3 days? Now, I believe my job is important, but I want to eat chips and watch TV. I just don't go to work. I mean, you believe what? I think your boss will... Hello? I think you got 3 clients... Call me. How come you never answer the phone? Oh, boss, I believe your job is important. I really believe. Then why are you sitting in your bed? I believe. The reason why many Christians don't have their lives changed is because when God says, I want you to do this, say, no, Lord. I believe what you say, but I'm not going to act on that. And I believe many Christians are in that category. Why do you think as a church we go out week after week to knock on doors? Some people say it's not effective, but people don't come. Because the Bible says, we believe the Bible says, Psalm 126, verse 5, 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing the precious seed of God's word, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Christians, those of you who have been going week after week, you know why you are going? Because you believe the Bible. Yes, we don't get results. Sometimes we do get results when people call, and the moment I always, when people call me, I'll call you, I'll let you know, because I want to encourage you. God, you will reap what you sow. Amen. When you go out by faith, God, I don't know whether these people will accept Christ, but God, I'm going anyway because I believe your word. And you know what? Some of you are here because of attracting. Some of you are here because someone was faithful doing something. Because we believe God. By the way, God is still moving. God doesn't sit on his throne. He doesn't remote control us. He works actively with us. Because Jesus says, I'm with you. Always. Even unto the end of the world. I'm with you. Christians, we don't grow. Our lives remain the same because we have the reproach on us again and again because we don't believe what God says. So how do we then use this power in Christ to help us overcome? There's now Brother Desmond touched on that. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Let me just read that. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God says that without faith, you cannot please God. You know what? The word without means it's absolute negative. You cannot make it zero, fail. Try again, insert coin. Cannot. You cannot please God if you don't trust Him. But Brother Johnny, what kind of faith are you talking about? The faith like a little child, just like perhaps little Sharon or Sarah would go to Brother Denzel Adele, right? Adele would go to the mummy and like just now I was carrying her and I was trying to play with her. You know what she was doing the next 3 seconds? He was looking for the mummy. I'm not going to trust this big guy. I'm going to trust my mom. And that kind of faith that Adele had as a little baby, all she did was turn around and look for mommy. If she doesn't find mommy after 5 seconds, what happened? The siren will go already, right? Will call mom. Mommy, I move. You know, as Christians, we need to siren all the time when we meet troubles with God. But you know what? When troubles come, you know what we do? We go to our friends. We go to self-help books. We go to what my boss will say rather than going to what God will say. Christians, we need to learn to trust God. We need to learn to have that simple faith that sometimes, can I say, living by faith doesn't mean you see all the time. Because Christians, we don't live by sight, we live by faith. That's what the Bible says. Which means things may happen in a certain way. But then you say, no, God, sometimes you could see that, how come my loved one's not saved? But you know what, based on God's word, God, if I would keep my life right with you, if I would pray and fast, God, if I would do the work, God, I know you saved my mom is here after 20 years. My mom is here. She trusted Christ, got baptized 2-3 years ago. We were praying. 1981, I got saved for 22 years. God worked in her heart. I was a rascal of a child. But you know what? Sometimes we would think, God, what are you? Why aren't you doing? My in-laws are here. Because God said, if you would go, he that saw in tears, and you would come, please, our loved ones. There is nothing more important in this life than to see your loved ones come to Jesus Christ. Your money, your bank account cannot go to heaven. Only your loved ones. Did you know that? If we would only have the eternal perspective, the things of life are no longer as important as they are. Oh, Christians, if you are here today and you are not a Christian, you know why people are inviting you? It's not because we just want to show off. There's nothing to show off. We're all sinners saved by grace. We want to show off that Jesus who can save you. Because He bore our sin. He bore our sin. Just now, Brother Desmond talked about how does faith come in? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know how to build your faith? Not to hear what Brother Johnny says, but to hear what God says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. One final point. Sometimes Christians fail to have the reproach of them because they fail to restore our proper relationship with God. Look at Joshua chapter 5, verse 2 to 8. I'll just quickly just finish off this part. We fail to restore our relationship with God. I'll just read 2 and 3. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made them sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. Why circumcision? It is said by some commentators, this is the most unmilitary act that Joshua did. You know why? You're already in the promised land. The attack is about to start. Go and circumcise yourself. How are you supposed to fight? 2 years recovery. Rather, not 2 years. Two weeks. All the males cannot do anything. You know what? Sometimes when we halt and we're supposed to move forward, and God says, look, before you move forward, you need to circumcise yourself. You know why? Because the children of Israel, if you read the rest of the verse, they were in the wilderness for 38 years, 40 years. In those 40 years, as they see their loved ones die because of their rebellion, the people have totally forgotten the rite of circumcision in the wilderness. All their fathers have died in the wilderness. The new generation that grew up were not taught they need to be circumcised. Do you know why? They were too busy preparing for funerals. That's one of the reasons. Do you know from Egypt to the promised land, 2 million people came up from Egypt. You know how many people entered the promised land? How many can get a guess? How many people entered the promised land? 2 million people came up from Egypt out of Pharaoh. How many people went to the promised land? How many? Come on. Come on, don't be shy. How many people went to the promised land? Sorry? How many? Two! Only Caleb and Joshua. That's a scary statistic. 2 million came up from Egypt. God says, I'm going to bring you a promised land. Only two reached there. Do you know, as the people were walking in the wilderness for 40 years, God had to kill, not because he wanted to, but because of their rebellion against him. Do you realize, I made a calculation, for 2 million people to die in 40 years, 50,000 deaths a year. Okay? 4,200 funerals every month. The Jewish people bury the people immediately. 138 deaths every day. 12. Every hour. And you would think that the children of Israel, I better obey God. Right? But no. They continue in the unbelief. Is it possible that as Christians, when we see the moving of God, when God is moving in our life, I don't know about you, God has already encouraged my heart with the people that are here. God is moving in an unprecedented way. I don't even know how is God doing that. But you know what? The encouragement that comes with God just touching people with his word, encouraging people to walk with him. God is moving. And yet with the miracles around us, Christians are not moving. Why? Is it unbelief? And so, Joshua chapter, number one, we need to deal with the sins and hindrances. When Joshua said, you need to put the sharp knives, you need to circumcise. The circumcision means it is important because every Jew must be circumcised, otherwise they physically do not belong to God. Circumcision is part of the Abrahamic covenant to show that they are part of the nation of Israel. So if you are not willing to be circumcised as a Jew, you're not a people of God. But circumcision has a deeper meaning. It means the knife must be put to the flesh. It means the sins of our flesh must be killed in our lives. Because if we were to try to fight with sin in our Christian life, we will lose. Fast forward, Joshua and the children of Israel went into Jericho, they obeyed God, the walls of Jericho fell. But you know what? When they went to Ai, the second city, you know what happened? They lost. You know why? Because there was sin. Someone decided to take care of himself more than the people of God. And as a result, Joshua said, God, what happened? You know, God says, get up, there's sin in the camp. You deal with that. And Christian, is there sin in our own camp? Let's not look at one another. Lord, in my relationship with you, have I dealt with my own sin? Any hindrance, any obstacle that will keep the reproach still on our backs? You know, when you renovate your house, what do? What's the first thing you do when you renovate your house? The house already belonged to you. You bought the house. What do you do when you renovate the house? You need to hack walls. Right? You need to get rid of the old tiles, get rid, right? And then you clean up and then you renovate. Right? You know this, you know, our house of our body changed masters when we became Christians. And God wants us to deal with that sin so that His Spirit can come in and abide and strengthen us. No Christians, many of us are still living lives without God. We still have worldly lives, sin in our lives that sometimes we don't even want to deal with. The reproach is still on us. The things of our old life, we are carrying into the new life, not knowing that God says, I've removed the reproach. Today as your pastor, I'm telling you, God has freed you. You do not have to carry your sinful temper. You do not have to carry your attitudes. You do not have to carry the things that bound you into your new Christian life. God has already removed that. But God says, look, you have to actively deal with that. I've already done that. But your flesh keeps wanting to pull back. Like a person on drugs. If you just move away for a while, the friends will call. And if you go back to his friends, what happens? He'll get sucked straight back in into that drug life. Number one, we need to deal with the flesh. But number two, we need to reinstate obedience. Joshua chapter 5 verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. I'll just be finishing soon. We need to just start obeying God again. Christians, how many of you would like a prosperity principle in your life? Let's look at Joshua 1 verse 8. The prosperity principle of the Bible. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, those who can recite, recite it together, ready? 1, 2, go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says, you want success and prosperity? You follow my word. God, when He told Joshua, you're going to conquer the promised land. You know how you're going to do that? I'm not going to teach you military strategy. I'm just going to tell you, follow what I say. Because it is God who fights our battles for us. The commander cannot win victories if the soldiers don't listen. Amen? The commanders will know the bigger picture of the enemy. They know what is going to happen and say, just do that at that point. You need to do that because they're attacking you. No, I'll just do what I want. We can't win. No wonder Christians don't win because God has given instructions for victory in our life. We don't follow. Christians, we need to roll off. God has already rolled off the reproach. Are there reproaches still in your life right now that you have not removed? And maybe God is just letting you know, hey, you just need to start obeying me now. As we close, let me just ask you, how many of you actually believe all the problems of your life you can find answers in this book? Put up your hand. Just be bold. Just every problem you have in life, can you actually find answers in this Bible? Which verse tell you that? Because you need to base your faith on the book, right? Which verse tells you that? I deliberately deleted that. But which verse? I'm not better than you. But you know, for over 30 years as a Christian, I found God to be true to His word. I believe many of you have too, amen? Many of you have said, God, I'm just going to trust you. And you have always seen God pulling you through, amen? Let me give you that verse, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The answers to every question, every problem, every trial in your life is found in the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Christians, memorize it if you have to. What a blessed promise Peter gives to the Jewish Christians. And by the way, 2 Peter was written to Christians in trial. They were facing persecution of Nero. They were going to die. And Peter himself was crucified, but he wrote to encourage these believers, stand strong. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Let's read it together. Ready? Read it slowly, reflectively. Ready? 1, 2, go. According as His divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In verse 3, God says, according to His infinite power, He has given unto us everything that is necessary for your living life and for your spiritual life. In other words, in your job, God has given all you needed to do a good job to honor Him. In your spiritual life, God has given you everything for you to grow as a Christian. And then in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That refers to the Word of God. You know, Brother Johnny, I can't pay my bills. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Philippians 4:19. God, I'm really afraid of the future. I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Oh, God, Brother Johnny, I'm going through a trial in my life. Fear not, I'm with you. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10. When you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. When you pass through the waters will not overflow you. Have you heard that verse before? Brother Johnny, no one loves me. Jeremiah 31, 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Dear friends, there's the deepest human needs inside this Bible. Do you know even you cry is a good thing, because the Bible says, out of the sorrow of the heart, a person cries. You know the heart is made better if you cry, because God said so. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Every human emotion, I consider the book of Proverbs a very good human resource book, because God exposes us for who we are. You know when your little child don't eat, you know what is the problem? It's not that he doesn't know how to eat. The Bible says he's lazy. Because a lazy man don't even bring the spoon to his mouth. So parents, as the child grow up, after a certain age, make sure they feed themselves. Because otherwise you're encouraging a trend of laziness, the flesh. And you know what? That flesh, listen to this. I will finish with this. When our children grow up with those things of the flesh, they grow up with the reproach, the sinful control. That when they grow up and supposed to work hard, they find it hard. Why? Because the reproach, the shame has always been put on them. But when they begin to realize, if the Lord Jesus Christ sets me free from that, I don't have to be lazy anymore. I need to be hardworking. Because whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. I can tell you, Brother Johnny, don't show off. I'm not showing off. I'm telling you as your spiritual elder, if I'm as the pastor, a shepherd of your souls, God has the answer here for everything in your life if you only trust Him. That's why we believe the Bible stands. And did you know one last thing? One day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, John chapter 12, verse 48, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words which I have spoken unto him, the same will be his judge in the last day. If you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ today, He's only going to base His judgment on this book. Did you know that? He's going to open this book and say, did you do this? Or have you trusted Christ? If Christ asks us, why should I allow you in heaven? How many of you would have an answer to give to Him? Why should God let us into heaven? You know what I'd say? Because God, you say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, repent. Otherwise you perish. God, I've repented of my sin. According to your word, God, if you don't follow your word, then you're a liar. But God doesn't lie. God says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me had everlasting life. John 5:24. It shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Christian, is the reproach of Egypt still on you today? God promised you it has already been removed. All we need to do, let's remember we are Christians first. We have the power of God in our lives. And let's just start, say, God, new with sin, just gonna start obeying you, and so that God, your spirit can take control of my life. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I know I've gone a bit longer. Lord, thank you for the patience of your people. But Lord, right now, I'm asking you, Lord, you have wrote off the reproach of Egypt from off us, the Old Testament taken to the New, because your Bible tells us Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from sin to live without guilt, but free to live an abundant life because of all that you have provided for us, strength, grace, mercies, friends to encourage us. Lord, we need you because sometimes we are so forgetful of your goodness and your strength. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask, are you here today and you will actually say, Brother Johnny, I sense the reproach of Egypt still on me over all these years. The things of my past have caught up with me, or I'm still carrying the burdens that should have been left at the cross. Perhaps prejudice, perhaps pride, perhaps selfishness, perhaps self-centeredness, perhaps unbelief. And you're saying, Brother Johnny, today I believe God that He will roll off. And I want to trust Him on that. Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, there is a reproach, but I'm taking God at His word to help me get rid of that once and for all. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Just put it up, put it down, and pray in heart. Amen, I see that hand. Put it up, put it down, and you know, right in the table of your heart, God, this is the reproach. I don't want it anymore. Help me to trust you by your word to remove this. Is there anyone else? Amen, I see that hand too. Is there anyone else? Just pull up your right hand, put it down and pray in your heart. Is there anyone else? And let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray for these Christians. I don't know what's in their heart, but you do, Lord. You are their Savior. You are their God. You are the one who led them into the promised land of salvation. But God, yet they feel that they're still carrying reproaches with them. I pray, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit will identify where the area is. Show them Your light from Your word. And Lord, by Your power, help them to believe and make them free in that area. I can't do it because I'm human, but God, You can. And in their personal relationship with You, I pray, Lord, that You will make them free. Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.